Hello. The Literacy View is back to discuss another sizzling topic. But before we do, all three of us are wearing very special t-shirts, and I'll let Faith explain what this is all about.
All right. So the three of us are wearing our Cutting Illiteracy t-shirts. And this is an initiative that was started in Pennsylvania with my friend Trey Hadrick and his Lit Champs. And it's out of a barbershop where the barbershop is the center, the community awareness piece to all of this, where people are going into the barbershop and learning about reading and how to teach reading correctly so that they could then advocate for their children. And the barbershop now has decodable books. So if you're interested in helping this cause, if you go to bonfire.com, Bonfire, and you look up Cutting Illiteracy, you too can have one of these t-shirts or sweatshirts. As you see, mine is a dark navy color. And then Judy and Mary are wearing the light blue. And there's also a gray one. I think mine shows up probably the best on screen right now, but they're all really cool. And we would so much appreciate if you considered getting one to help us. Thank you.
Okay, tonight's topic. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Syllable types. Why in the world would we be discussing something like syllable types? Go ahead, Judy.
All right. So, you know, we listened to our viewers today. I woke up in the morning and the first thought I had, I wasn't thinking about what my kids ate for breakfast. I wasn't thinking about what time is my train coming. My first thought was syllable types. Not really syllable types. It was more the skill of decoding and teaching kids how to decode words with ease. And the reason that this is so important to me is because for many years, I was trained in balanced literacy, reading recovery, which I do love, and learned many fabulous things. But the memory will always stick with me that some of my kids didn't discontinue. And the main reason was they had trouble decoding multisyllabic words. And a lot of the students that I worked with were ENL students, and it was even tougher for those students because they couldn't really gather what the word was through meaning because it didn't really mean a lot to them. So, you know, now I've been on the Universal Literacy team and I became very passionate about, you know, staying current, learning about the science of reading, not being afraid of it, knowing that I can make both my worlds work to best support the different learners in front of me. And this became an area that I'm very passionate about. And I think it's really a key piece that educators think about how to teach decoding skills. And we'll leave it to Faith now.
Okay, so I'm going to be the odd man out here, all right? So let me give you a little bit of background. I was first trained in a program called Phonographics. And in that program, they started with the word speech to print. And it was a very flexible type of program in terms of how you approach a polysyllabic word. That's another way of saying multisyllabic. So just for our viewers, polysyllabic, multisyllabic, they mean the same thing. Okay. And it did not have rules. It was, but there was a structure, there was a way of teaching it. And then I was trained in Orton-Gillingham, and I am Wilson certified. So I think I could go into both worlds here, speech to print, print to speech. And what I want to put up front is I'm not here to put down OG or Wilson. But I am here to present another view that rules are not necessary and that children could still be taught to read long words without rules. And in fact, the most recent research actually supports what I'm saying. And I have some of that to share with you. But I just wanted to put that out there that my background is, and still, you know, I still use everything that I've learned. And this is not to knock that. And, you know, I want to put that out there so that people don't attack me and say, but wait a minute, I use this and this is absolutely wrong. So I just want to share with you that there are other ways of approaching this.
I appreciate that. I'm willing to listen.
And I have a counter viewpoint. So my counter viewpoint is I did learn to read. I was in a school that was very phonics centric, and I learned to read without learning syllable types. But currently I work with, and I've over 35 years of teaching, I work with so many struggling readers. So if 40% are not learning phonology correctly, I believe they need to learn the syllable types. And the reason is this, what Judy said earlier, when students have to read in middle school and high school, multisyllabic words, and there are no pictures, they have to break it down, and knowing the syllable types helps. Now, I know not everybody loves the stats, but several hundred years before the first letters appeared, this was 2800 BCE, syllables were invented. So they were before even the first words. We moved from pictographs to syllables. Mm-hmm. And this was the most important advance in the history of writing. So some of this is how our, and this is syllable types. This wasn't coming out of Wilson or OG. This is what linguists, people who study language, already know.
I think there's a difference between syllables, which is a necessary part of reading a big word, and a syllable label, a type.
But you have to have the type. So let's talk about the syllable types, and then Judy can jump in.
Oh my God, Mary, you have your list. So do I. Let's hit it.
Okay, so closed syllable is the first syllable. It has to be taught first, then the vowel consonant E. Then we have the open syllable, the final stable syllable, the R-controlled syllable, and the double vowel syllable. And do you know, viewers and listeners, that for all of these syllable types, we have an exception? So I will say—
That's the problem. That's the problem right there. But I'm going to interrupt.
Expand. You're saying it's a problem, but tell me why it's a problem.
I'm going to say, because for every time you're an adult as a reader looking at this and looking at the logic, I love the logic of all this too.
That's right.
I'm trained in this. And I, as a learner, oh, that was so much fun to know all the syllable types and to label syllable types. But in a practical sense, when kids are approached with these big words, often, and I have the research and I'm going to read a little bit, that says often it's unreliable.
And unreliable why?
Because in words, you could shake your head, but you know, if we respect the science, it is saying that it's unreliable. Now, what I'm saying is it helps a reader. And I want to be very clear to the audience that when we talk about syllables, of course, that's part of language. We're breaking up big words into syllables. There is a huge difference teaching kids how to divide a big word by recognizing vowels and grasping and getting through a word and looking at meaningful word parts, like in, you know, morphemes, as opposed to knowing a label for a syllable type.
So I know what you're saying. So I, if I could just chime in. So it, you know, I saw that you posted something this week that knowing the sounds is more important than knowing the letters. And that made a lot of sense to me. So I think that, yes, for some kids, it might just be cognitive overload. But you know what? Honestly, I think it's very, very important. I think that in foundations, when kids are marking words, they're learning that the language is not as tricky as we say, oh, English is so tricky. No, there's a rhyme and reason to a lot of things and the way they work. I think students need to be empowered and we can't set the bar low. They can recognize a diagraph. That's a wonderful thing. They can know that the vowel team makes a certain sound. Why should they learn to be flexible? Okay, I'm going to try to do the sound this way and that way. If there's a rhyme or reason to the way it should be, you know, they don't always have to be. It's not a guessing game. There is
not a guessing game. So you know what? There are only 6 syllable types.
Actually, OG says there's 7. I just got trained in OG as well. And they say that there's an additional one, which is the diphthong.
Well, the diphthong, right. But D syllable and diphthong go together. So I'm getting Wilson. I'm doing my Wilson.
They could, but you know what? Students get so good at recognizing those things. They'll say, Miss Judy, I see an O and a W, and a W is not a vowel.
Okay. But the thing of it is, going back to your point, Faith, about labels, everything in our whole world is labeled, right? Lamp, tree, my cup. We label everything. We label math problems. So teaching them 6 or 7 syllable types, I'm not saying that when they're reading, not going through and marking it all, but when students are learning or
I love marking
difficulty, they have to mark. Now, I will admit to this. Our district brought in foundations, no training. The person who brought it in, like, you know, gave us a half day, didn't explain any of it. And I was, you know, when you have little kids and they're scooping and trying to mark, it's a mess.
No, it's not. I disagree. I totally disagree. It's not. What? You teach it well and it becomes so fun for the kids and it helps that metacognition. And then you look in the foundations tracker and you see mastery. And guess what that tells you? That the kids are understanding that words don't always have to be that tricky. And there's a rhyme and reason for the way things work. And guess what? We have to set the bar a little bit higher. And wait. Now some of my students have gotten so good that guess what they could do? You could show them a word and they could, without marking, see the syllable types and divide the word quickly and tell me if it's open, close, this, that, and decode quickly. It helps. It doesn't hurt you.
I'm totally good. It doesn't help. I'm not saying it doesn't help.
I know.
So I think, and I want to be very clear about that. I trained people in foundations. All right. On Long Island, I would go into school districts. I did training. I was a regional reading coach. I was always known as the intervention person. So I am very aware of everything you're saying. And what you're saying, I don't disagree with what you're saying in terms of kids can sometimes enjoy it. They get very good at it. What I'm saying is we have to separate what we know and to open ourselves up, because I did. And since I was trained in both methods, I could tell you that it is also very efficient to give them. And when I say flexible, I don't mean letting them guess. Flexible doesn't mean guess.
That's good.
Flexible means they're taught to try one way. And then if that sound is not working, to then try the other way.
What so does that mean, not working? So what if the kid doesn't know the word?
Let me finish. So let's say cabin and tiger. Give you a perfect example. Cabin and tiger.
Okay.
If you do a syllable division with cabin and tiger, well, there's still one consonant between two vowels.
That's right.
So if you go with what the rule is, it's usually open when you divide after the vowel. Now, usually you're dividing between two consonants, correct? To close in the vowel. So for those people who don't know what I'm saying, I don't want to turn you off. But what I'm saying is that when you learn to divide a word, closed means that there's going to be a consonant locking in one vowel.
Right, and the B is supposed to go with the
to keep it a short vowel sound.
And that's what we teach.
Okay. And that's what a good program does. It starts with the simplest and goes to the complex. You could still have the same structure without labeling syllables by types. Now, listen to what I'm saying. You're shaking your head, but listen. So cabin and tiger. So if I'm looking at that, that is exactly the same structure. A vowel, a, book, and then write it. So if I'm going to divide and I'm doing open syllable, well, how do I know if it's open or closed?
So because they try it both ways.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, do they need the label closed or open? Or could you just tell them, watch, try breaking the word up after the consonant. And if it doesn't work, try it after the vowel. And guess what? It works every time. Every time flexing the vowel can work. And like I said, I have a book that has research. I just want to...
Well, what if the kid doesn't know what the word means? What if the kid doesn't know what a tiger is?
Well, then nothing's going to help them. If the kid doesn't know the word, you can flex it to the moon. Doesn't matter what's going to happen.
No, but I think... Mary, you know Wilson very well. There's a rule for if it's the word cabin, the consonant goes with the first syllable, right?
Yes. So the B would close in the first.
What about tiger?
I wrote tiger on my paper. Hold on. Viewers, are you writing tiger on your paper now too? Let's all do it. All right. Wait, I'm looking.
My understanding is it's not tiger, it's tiger.
Right. You're right.
So there we go. There are exceptions to the rules.
But very good.
We give kids that idea. They it's hard for them to sort out.
But you know
not
what?
Not for everybody.
So this is what I'm saying though. You give them the tools. So when we teach multiplication or division, we teach them an algorithm, a step-by-step process. With decoding, it's the same thing. These are the steps in which we read, we learn to read, and these are the syllable types. Did I need to learn syllable types in order to read? No, but a lot of people, I think this is the way we need to be going so that everyone understands syllable types, so Faith, are the phonological building blocks of words, right? Syllables are the phonological building blocks of words.
Syllables,
tells you how the phonemes
syllables
work.
Syllables are, but not syllable types.
But you know what?
With
cabin and tiger. So tiger. So when I've taught this lesson with Wilson, so we do cabin, cabin.
Okay, so that's flexing the vowel.
They watch tiger, tig. They know automatically which one is correct.
Not all kids.
They know the word. They know the meaning of the word. What I'm saying is...
Guys, this is sounding back like reading recovery. It's not a guessing game, though. It's not. And you know what? I shouldn't even say that.
It's not a guessing game,
but you're applying the syllable. So they have to decide, like you said, Judy, in cabin, the B goes... with the A, C-A-B, to close in that first syllable. Right. In a closed syllable, everybody, one vowel, the vowel sound is short, it's closed in by a consonant, one or more consonants at the end.
But it didn't work with tiger, and I could give you other examples.
So give us another example.
Rather than that, because I'm not going to argue the point. This is a book.
Why? It's a good point to argue. I'm already writing another word.
Okay, well... structured literacy interventions. And I would recommend, if you doubt what I'm saying, look it up. And I'm just going to read something to you. There was an article in 2020, and it was in Reading Research Quarterly. I'm not making this up. I'm not a researcher. We're all practitioners.
And that's right.
I think as practitioners, rather than being right or wrong here, we need to share with the audience our experiences of what we have done. And I'm saying, yes, OG can work. Wilson can work.
Of course
it
can.
I'm not saying that. But I am saying that there are other programs out there that do not follow rules and work just as well or better. That's what I'm saying. So now look, there's an article here in Reading Research Quarterly, and it's called, Does English Have Useful Syllable Division Patterns? That's what it's called. Does English Have Useful Syllable Division Patterns? Came out in 2020, Devin Kearns. And basically, and I'm going to read what it says, but the outcome is it could inhibit fluency. It's effortful. It's unreliable, not consistent. And this is what it says from the book. Educators typically use one of two approaches for teaching syllabification. One, rule-based syllabification using syllable types and syllable division rules. Or two, which is what I'm talking about, flexibly dividing words using vowel-based syllabification and knowledge of vowel pronunciation. Syllabification, according to dictionary rules, is the most well-known approach to teaching syllabification and is part of well-known intervention programs like Orton-Gillingham.
Okay.
However, some data indicate that the rule-based approaches, one, do not work very consistently, and two, are too numerous and complex to be very helpful. And three, you gotta let me finish.
We're almost up. Yep.
May tax students' working memory because they must remember the rules and the part of the word at the same time. There are also very few studies that have examined the effects of using syllable division rules specifically. Overall, data do not strongly support teaching rule-based syllable division.
All right, so that is scientists talking.
That's one study.
That's right.
But it's a recent study.
Go ahead, Judy.
You know what? I don't follow. Listen, I listen to scientists too, but data is data. And when we gather data and collect it, and we see a lot of our students are very successful. So that's data, right? That's just as important as the science. We're in the field. We're in the trenches. We see it.
I agree with you.
Now, am I open-minded to learning more about what you're saying, Faith? Yes, I'm so excited. You mentioned Anita Archer. I love her. I met her at many of my
pieces. Yeah.
Because of Anita, I fell in love with the writing revolution. Because of Anita, I read the book about explicit instruction. Those were the pieces that really got me moving and learning a little bit more. I want to learn more about rewards. You mentioned rewards. That's fine. Because one thing I was trained in a long time ago when I was in reading recovery is to be prepared for every learner that comes in front of me. And you know what I could say? Because I didn't know the syllable types well enough about 10 or 15 years ago, I didn't do good enough for some of my students. And that's why I'm going to look at what you told me, Faith, and I'm going to learn about rewards. I'm going to listen to what Mary said, but I'm going to be prepared with every tool that I can get to help those kids. Yes, some kids need the OG way where you draw a little bridge. Nothing wrong with it for some kids.
That's right.
But some kids, my son Leo, 99th percentile in literacy. He's in high school. He got a 750 on the SAT in verbal. Guess what? He doesn't know syllable types, and he's fine. But the point is, and I think, Mary, you'll agree with me, is you've got to be prepared and a little bit, like you said, Faith, flexible. And my flexibility is going to come by learning more.
So, you know, I think, Faith, too, you have a very, very deep and rich knowledge base. You are a reading expert. But I think for new teachers and teachers with very little experience in phonology, phonics, they need some type of program. You have all this experience with different types of approaches. But this is what I also believe. When a student is not using this, they're not using syllable types when they become fluent at a particular level. It's to figure out the code. So guess when I use syllable types? I'm a really good reader. I use syllable types when I read a prescription bottle and the medicine name is so completely foreign to me. And I don't want to sound like an idiot. So I will break it up into syllables and try to figure it out. And then I'll go check it on the computer. But if there is a subject area in which I am not well versed in, I will rely on syllable types as an adult. And I do that often when I'm reading medication bottles like atorvastatin. So they don't get bogged. I disagree with the author of the article. They do not, I know the cognitive demand. However, I'm a practitioner working with struggling readers, and it's teaching them the syllable types and going in a structured, explicit way. I have had these students for more than a year, some 2 years, and they all learn to read. My very first Wilson student he's in 12th grade. He scored a 35 on the ACT. He's going to a great college, but you have to teach. I believe they have, when they're beginning to learn and beginning to decode, they have to learn the syllable types. And so I guess I'll maintain that position.
And I don't think it's only syllable types. I think it's also thinking about how do vowels work? You know, what does a digraph do? What does a vowel team do? It's not all that tricky. And now it's like, we can make a big difference in a lot of kids' lives by just learning more. I think the key is just learning more. And like I said, I want to learn more. I'm open to learning more, but it's never going to be my way or the highway for me. It's just not.
And you know what? So first of all, I really appreciate both of you. And, you know, and what you said, Mary, I really thank you. But I want to just tell you, what you mentioned about the prescription bottles, guess what? I do the same thing. So I just want you to realize when I say flexible, you are still scooping a word into syllables when you use this approach. It is exactly the same thing.
Can I see you do it? Do you have a dry erase board or something? Like I was just looking at the word music, and I think with the word music.
Well, I'm even talking about a longer word. All right. So
can you write one for us?
Like, let's say the word disability. All right. I'm not going to start writing a word now because this is going to also be on a podcast. So the point of I'm not going to do that. But let's say the word is disability. Well, dis right there is a prefix that helps you. So if kids are taught prefixes and suffixes, meaningful word parts, and
100%.
You teach them to kind of catch those vowels and how to do it, you are doing exactly the same thing. So I don't want viewers to think I'm just kind of randomly doing this. There is structure. The sequence is there. There is a sequence. I never teach without a sequence. There is structure. There's sequence. I always start with CVC type words. The point is, I think the question is, do kids have to label and know a syllable type? If they understand the vowel teams, if they're taught, you know, all the different things that you would teach in a Wilson program or, you know, Orton-Gillingham, guess what? They're able to get through this without the labeling. And I've seen kids spend a lot of time marking up words, and where that's the whole lesson, like marking it up. And then when it comes to actually transferring some of this, they are really stuck there trying to get the right syllable types. I've seen it. And, you know, I know you're saying no, but I've worked with kids of all ages and I've had great success, and I'm not here to float my own boat. But my point is, I've been doing this a long time. And just like you said, Judy, about getting this knowledge, I also, and I'm so glad you said that, I didn't just stop with phonographics. I got Orton-Gillingham trained. I got my Wilson certification. I most recently got Sounds Right training.
Did I get letters?
Sounds Right? No. At this point in my life, I have a good reputation. Did I need to do that? but I wanted to do it. So I'm a learner too. And what
of course.
I'm told,
and me too. I'm doing Wilson 2 certification to become a language therapist.
Yes.
Well, you know what? We're all, you know, we're all doing what we do and we all extend ourselves and we're learners. So all I'm saying is for the people watching this, that if you hear of a program that doesn't use syllable types, don't assume it's not a good program. Sounds Right does not use syllable types. Sounds Right has a more flexible approach, starting with speech to print. It's based on what I was talking about before. And guess what? There's a huge success rate with that program. And then there's EBLI. There are so many other programs. Nora's program, there's Reading Simplified. Then there was a there are programs that combine kind of the two, like I mentioned today, WordWasp, where you know, it also has a spelling emphasis with speech. There are lots of good programs out there. We're not here to sell programs. What we're here to do is to let people know, I think, ultimately, the important thing is kids should be taught how to divide a word up into syllables. The approach might be different, but it you can't just assume that kids will go from a one-syllable word into a multi-syllable word without training. I think that's ultimately what we're trying to do here.
Okay. So, and I don't even think, I don't subscribe syllable types to any particular program, but I
that's
do,
right.
I do believe it's a foundational skill. And I think many, many teachers and administrators also need to learn what is, so an open syllable, everyone, a long vowel sound, it's not closed in. In an R control, the R takes over. So,
right.
So we need to know these basics. And Faith and Judy, we know that in teacher training programs, so little time is devoted to teaching people how to teach others to read that they have no idea what this means. But
that's right.
Even if you're teaching, so I have kids in high school who are students in my practice who have never heard of the syllable types. So you try to get through science or social studies and you're trying, you can syllabicate it, but what happens when you come to a part of the syllable and you're not sure, is that a long vowel sound or a short vowel sound? This gives you, I believe the typing gives you a little bit more in that bank. Okay, final thoughts, ladies. What are our final thoughts?
Judy? Go ahead.
Well, my final thought is be open. Think about your successes. Think about things that you could have done better and learn. Why did it take me so many years to know the syllable types? I should have done it much earlier. And, you know, knowledge is power. And being able to admit that some things that we did need to shift is okay. And, you know, I think for me, the most important thing is just be open, learn to listen to people that you agree with and disagree with, learn to be accepting, open-minded, and listen. Yes. We could learn something from a lot of people. And one last thing that I want to say is watch those kids. If you see it's putting too much load on a kid, you might need to shift. But if your kids are thriving and the data is saying our kids are doing great, believe in those kids. They can learn those syllable types. They can feel empowered. English is not as tricky as we think. Thank you.
Go ahead, Faith.
All right. So I think what I wanted to get across and why we even did this discussion is that not every student will need syllable types. And I think even a struggling reader, not all of them need syllable types. And I have taught children successfully without marking up words and without syllable types. And yes, I also have taught children with syllable types. That's what I'm saying. I've done it both ways. And so I want teachers to realize that if a school adopts a program that maybe is not Orton-Gillingham based, but it does have structure, it is cumulative, it is explicit that those programs can be and are successful programs. So I think what you said, Judy, about being open-minded, I think there are some people out there who will say, well, OG is the gold standard. Yes, it. Believe me, I believe in Orton-Gillingham, but I also believe and have used other programs successfully that work for some of the most profound cases. And so we really just have to share this information and understand that it's not set in stone.
Yeah. And I appreciate you.
And I appreciate you. We can have a love
fest. I really do, from the bottom of my heart.
So I want to say that I love these discussions. I think that we are conversing about things, topics that are on a lot of people's minds, people in education. And I think that this discourse allows people to see that we can disagree.
Yes.
And have a very respectful conversation. So I would hope that in schools, in school districts, that as Judy says, it's not my way or the highway, that we listen to all of this and we have this discourse about what's working, what's not working, but also really look at, you know, what is the science and what is the evidence. But we can all work within, and we are all passionate. And I guess my parting thought is we want to make sure that we get rid of the data point. 40 million people in America today are low literate, are low million. So if it's teaching syllable types or teaching a flex syllable, it's okay. We need to eradicate, we need to cut illiteracy.
I love that final thought. Yay.
Thank you.
Oh my God, I got chills, ladies.
Yes.
I love you both.
We love the people watching.
Like we really do, from the bottom of our heart.
I agree. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.